Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Here, well, that was some crack this morning, wasn't it? If you have stayed with us and are still tuned in, thank you so much, because honest to goodness, it all started off quite good this morning, and then literally about 10 to 11, when we were just getting ready to hit the button, it must have been the gremlins. If I was in my own church, you know what would have happened this morning? We would have been facing the north, the south, the east, and the west, and doing all kinds of crazy stuff to get the devil out of the internet or something. I don't know. But here we are. Thank you so much. Actually, I was just thinking about it there and going, there was one big change that we made this morning, and that was we allowed Pastor Adam back into the room to do the introductions. And I have a feeling that that might be what the issue is. So you'll never see him again in front of a camera because he's just wrecked it for us. But that's just a joke, okay? We're going to have a great time this morning. And in the Word this morning, you're going to be so encouraged as I just start to round up this series on Who Do You Say I Am. If I could encourage you this morning, one of the brilliant things about doing this live is that you get to, in real time, interact with us. So if you're on the comments today on Facebook thing, I'd say to you is like and share this. Let's get this message of God's unmerited favor out into the world, okay? Because people need to know that they are loved today. People need to know that their future is secure. People need to know that Jesus himself, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, is looking after every bit of their lives today. And that message of hope, particularly at this time of year, we don't want to keep it to ourselves, right? We want to actually get that message out so that people who need to know about the love of God hear it. So like and share. If you're on YouTube this morning, you can still leave us a comment, but again, share it out and let's see this world transformed by grace. And so I hope that this morning, as you are listening, that you are doing well. I hope that this morning you know that wherever you are, wherever you're watching from this morning, I know we have people from Australia and America and Canada and Europe and everywhere in between who tune in to Exchange week in and week out. And wherever you are today, whatever time it is, where you are, I just know that the Lord has goodness for you this morning. So if when we're in church normally together, what we normally say is, look, open your heart for the word to come. Open your heart to receive, because you know, it's one thing about, we want to be people who not just are hearers of the word, but we want it to change our hearts. And we get the choice this morning, wherever you're sitting, you get the choice to go, yeah, I've heard that or whatever. Or you get the choice to say to the Lord this morning, actually, I want that word to go deep into my heart today, Lord. I want your word to really go down deep into the soil of my life. Because when that happens, then I know that your word will bring about great fruit. And so that's my encouragement to you as we look at John chapter 17 today. I don't know about you, I have absolutely loved this series. And I kind of was thinking about at what point do we call it an event? I think, I was thinking, you know, sometimes when you're preaching, people, you feel like a bit of a pressure that you have got to keep it fresh and what's the word. And I kind of felt the Lord say about 6 weeks ago to me, yeah, you should never, ever, ever, ever think that preaching about Jesus is ever stale, all right? Every time we put Jesus at the center of our lives, because that's what grace does. That's what the truth is all about. The truth is Jesus, aletheia. And remember, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And grace and truth are on the same side. They're not opposing, okay? They don't need to be held in any kind of tension. That, you know, the truth of Jesus and his grace both came together, John 1:17 said. And today, I would really encourage you that, you know, keep Jesus at the center. Keep him in the middle. Because when you do that and Jesus at the center, then life flows. And so I'm going to finish today on this series, looking at this this interplay between Jesus and his father in John 17. Now, let me give you some context first before we get into that. Because last week, I said that the whole of John chapter 13 to John chapter 18 all happens the night before Jesus was crucified. It's the final discourse, if you like, between Jesus and his disciples. So as Jesus is speaking to the disciples, he's speaking to you and me. It's almost like we get this view, almost looking in and on his interaction and his interplay with his disciples. And from what he's saying to them all the way through 13 to 18, then we as well can take the words that he speaks to his disciples as what he's saying to us. Now, I said that all of these questions are in their minds, you know, like what's going on, what's going to happen, you're going away. But essentially, remember last week I said Jesus gives them one answer. And it's the same answer that he gives to you and me today. right now in this moment. He says, I'm going, all right? He says to the disciples, but the Holy Spirit is coming, and he is another exactly like me. As I am God, he is God. As I have been with you, so the Spirit will be with you. The Spirit of grace will be with you, and he will come. He will be the one who will basically fulfill all of the promises that I have spoken to you, the Lord said. He'll be the one who gives you strength against the temptations of the world. He'll be the one who teaches you. He'll be the one that enables you to speak and to testify. He'll be the one who heals you and makes you whole. The Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, will come, and he will do all of that in your life because he is another just like me. And so today, you can know that you have the Spirit of Jesus and you the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus is living in you. If you're a believer today in Christ, if you've received Jesus, then you have the Spirit of grace living in you. And he guides you in the truth. If you need to know which way to turn, if you need to know which way to go, if you need to know what your 2021 is going to look like, then the Spirit of grace comes and guides you in the truth of Jesus and his finished work every day. He is the Spirit of grace. And his function is to guide you in the truth, to remind you that right at this moment, as you're listening to me here today, all of the finished work of Jesus and all the benefit that Jesus bought through his work on the cross is his gift of grace to you right now. You cannot earn it. There's nothing you can do to make yourself better this morning. Isn't that fantastic? Like right now in this moment, as he is, so are you in this world. That is the truth of grace. I don't know what you need to know this morning. I don't know what area of your life where you think you have a niggle or you have a doubt or you have an anxiety or you're struggling. I don't know what that is, but what I do know is that right now that Jesus is the answer, whatever the question is that you have. And he's not condemning you. He's not guilting you right now. He's not chastising you. Do you know how the Lord changes you? Okay? So what is this interplay between where we are and where we want to be? What is the interplay between how do I live in victory? You know, even when I know that there's things in my life that maybe just don't add up or they're not, you know, at the standard that God requires. Can I just say the Lord changes you and makes you more Christ-like by calling you to live up to who you have been truly made to be when you were first transformed by the work of Jesus. That's what he does. He calls you up. His work is one to bring out the righteousness in you and to remind you of what Jesus said about you and what he did for you. Now, that's how we change. That's what living in the truth of grace looks like. Because whatever grace says about you today, that's the truth and nothing else. Okay? There's no other truth other than grace and what grace says, the lens of grace. If we were living in old covenant times today, there would be a different truth, that we were not making it, that we were always below the grade, that there was, and of course, every one of you and me as well this morning have things in our lives that we want to be different, but the only truth that will set us free is what grace says. And when grace looks at you, it sees the work of Jesus. The Spirit of God gives you the work of Christ as a gift this morning, and all you can do is to believe, and in believing, the word says that you're saved, and from that place you're transformed from the inside out. Amen? I hope that's encouraging you. If it is, just drop us a line on the chat there and let our guys just interact with you and say, if your heart goes yes and amen, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ this morning, then please let us know. Because then what happens is the Lord at the end of John, I haven't got into my talk yet, better hurry up. He then leaves a promise. He says, yes, you're going to have difficulty in the world. Yes, you will encounter problems, you know. And so the Lord's not aloof, and he's not, you know, aware or unaware, rather, of the things that go on. So some of the dysfunction, actually, I find that goes on around us, we make it personal and we actually blame ourselves for it. Now, of course, we do live sometimes in the consequences of our poor decisions. And that's something that we need to be absolutely right about. You know, grace is not an excuse to do whatever you want. If you make a poor decision, you know, at times you're going to live in the consequence of that. But grace will always give you a way out, right? But the world that we live in is broken. There is pain. There's sickness. There's disease. There's all kind of physical, emotional, and spiritual brokenness. And this touches us all. Can you imagine what it would be like going into 2021 with the world that we have today around us and facing all of that without the promise that Jesus and his finished work does? Can you imagine what that would be like? I just can't imagine it. I think, you know, it's tough enough at times, but facing the world without the Lord, you know, is just be, I think, you know, not even worth considering, to be quite honest. And so with this world, he leaves John 16 in verse 33 with this brilliant promise. He said, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, let me just unpack a little bit of that for you today. He says, I'll give you peace, eirene in Greek. It means wholeness and rest. So in a world of trouble, in a world of tribulation, the spirit of grace in you is greater. But you can only have that rest, and you can only know that rest when you grow in that revelation of he that is in you is greater than that which is around you. Isn't it such a powerful truth? Actually, the word for, take heart here, I have overcome. There's two great words here. The word is tharseo, that first word. And it means, properly, it means to be bolstered within, to be supported with unflinching courage. Literally, it means to radiate warm confidence. Isn't that awesome? So the Lord says to you, I want you from the inside out to radiate, to shine warm confidence when you look at the world around you. Because take heart, okay, that's what that means, because I, Jesus says, have overcome the world. Now, this word overcome is fantastic. It's nikao, where we get the word Nike from, you know, for your sweats and your trainers and your cool stuff, all right? So the word Nike, it actually means victory. And it comes from this word nikao, and that's the word that the Lord Jesus, I have overcome. So let warmth, have that warm confidence from the inside, not determined on what's going on the outside. Let that warm confidence radiate in you, because I have overcome. I have victory over the world. That's the promise that the Spirit of Grace brings to you today. This word victory means it's after a battle. So there's a battle implied. So victory only comes after a battle has been fought. But you know the great thing for us today is that we don't need to fight the battle, because Jesus is saying the battle was never yours in the first place. The struggle is not yours. Jesus is saying that all of these principalities, all of the sin, all the mess, all the dysfunction, all the sickness, all the lack, all the depravity of humanity is not for you today to fight against, because quite frankly, you cannot. But he's promising the disciples here, before he even goes to the cross, I have already overcome. There is a battle to be won, but I have won that battle. And my victory is your victory, this morning the Lord says. My work is now your work. My promises are now your promises. Grace has won. He went to battle for you, and he won the battle for you. Even death is defeated itself. And that's the hope that we carry today. Amen. So let me quickly just jump into John chapter 17 this morning to bring you some encouragement, because I want to finish off this series as we head into Christmas. And as you can see behind me, I've been busy in the church here this week putting up Christmas trees and everything, because I love it. You know how much I absolutely love Christmas. And probably there's some people who are listening today going, he's an absolute spiffer. There is no way that he put that tree up, and you would be right as well. But as I'm here, I'm going to claim the victory in the tree. All right. So but we want to get into Christmas, and we want to talk about grace at Christmas. So today I just want to jump into John chapter 17. And this chapter is unparalleled in the Bible. Now, this is right on the cusp of the day where Jesus is going to be crucified. This is the night before. And this chapter is unique among all the bits of Scripture, because it is the prayer of Jesus to the Father. Now, it deserves careful attention. In one way, when we read it, the words are simple enough and they're direct enough, but the truths are really beyond comprehension. I think the best that we can do this morning, even, is just touch some of the edges, and we'll see these great truths, and hopefully one or two things will just land in your heart today. So this is a capstone of the four other chapters, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Those chapters, like I've said, have recorded the words of Jesus to his disciples on the night of the Passover, on Thursday night of the Passion Week, the night before he's going to be crucified. So what had happened? Well, that night, he spent hours upon hours with his disciples. They have a Passover meal. Then Judas was dismissed, as you know. And after Judas is dismissed, he institutes the Lord's Supper at that point, and he continues to teach them. Now, we know that they leave the upper room, and they've walked into the city of Jerusalem. And as they're walking, the Lord continues his instruction. He continues talking to them. He's full of promises. He's full of pledges. He's full of warning, and he's full of encouragement. He tells them that he's leaving, that he is going to die, that he will rise, and he will go back to the Father. He's promising them everything they will ever need. All the resources of heaven will be at their disposal as they pray and receive the Spirit of grace. They will know the truth because he will send the Spirit of grace who's going to bring this truth to them. So he's promising them peace, he's promising them love, he's promising them joy and everything else. But here he is. Here's the Lord standing on the brink of his own death. And the disciples, like I've told you, they're afraid, they're worried, they're full of doubt, and they're pretty anxious. You might know what that feels like. You might have some of those feelings yourself when you think about some aspects of your family or your work, your provision, your finance, when you think about 2021 and what that's going to look like. You know, they can't even begin to imagine a world without the Lord, because they've been with the Lord like every day for the last 3 years. And as they go deeper into the night, as they go deeper into this late Thursday evening, the greater their fears become. Now, Jesus is trying to help them with those fears and even bring them joy because he's making all these promises in 13, 14, 15, and 16. But these guys are really hard pressed to really embrace them because all they can really think about is Jesus is leaving and he's going to die. Now, all of that instruction, all of that promise, all of that chat, okay, is now past. It's done. And in chapter 17, this is a prayer that he prays to his Father. And what he prays to the Father is that the Father would fulfill all of the promises that he has made, that the Father would bring to fulfillment all the work that he has done, that the Father would be there to almost watch over every word that Jesus spoke to the disciples in order to make it happen. Now, this chapter has been called the Holy of Holies of Scripture. And in one way, it's the most glory-filled chapter in the Bible. It is, of course, like the proper Lord's Prayer. You might have heard this described. We have the Lord's Prayer, but that was Jesus teaching us how to pray. But this is like, in one sense, the real Lord's Prayer, because we're watching the Lord as he prays for you today. This is not an abstract from that Monday, Thursday. This is how he prays today in heaven for you, how he intercedes for you today. And when we get this glimpse, it's really beautiful. And that's why it's been called the real Lord's Prayer. It's where we see the communion between the Son of God and the Father. Here, it's almost like we're ushered into the throne room of God. We get to eavesdrop on the communion, this eternal communion between the Son and the Father. It's like the veil is drawn back. We're admitted into the most holy place. This bit of intimacy between Father and Son, God of the universe, the God of eternity, God pre-existent and eternal, and his Son. And we get to see and how they interact. So we approach the inner communion here. And it's called the secret place of the Most High God. It's almost like it's opened up for us. I kind of got the sense when I was reading it this week that it's almost like we need to remove our shoes and listen. It's almost like, you know, we're kind of on the holiest of ground, right? And remember, this is not how Jesus prayed whilst he was on earth. This is how he now prays in heaven, interceding. You get to see your great high priest. This is, it's called a mediatorial work. There's a big word. But what that means is you see the work of the mediator between God and man. And I honestly think this prayer is like a gift from heaven so that we can know the content, right, of our great high priest's intercession for us. What does that mean? It means we can see what Jesus prays for you and for me every minute of every day. And in that moment, our hearts, you know, that inner warm radiance and confidence that the Lord says, take heart. Well, I think you take heart whenever you see just how that the heart of Jesus and the heart of God for us is laid open in this prayer. Let me go quick. The first five verses, Jesus prays for himself. And then starting in verse 6, he prays for the apostles that are with him on that very night. And then he closes the chapter by praying for all believers, for you and for me. And for all of the future to come. But I think actually starting in verse 6, everything he prayed for the 11, he prays for all of his people throughout all of history. So he starts by praying for his own glory, and then he prays for the glory of us, his people. So let's have a look at a verse here in John 17, 2 to 3. Are you enjoying this morning? If you are, just give us a thumbs up. Quite frankly, I don't know whether anyone's listening or not, because the internet could have switched off ages ago. But if you are still tuned in and enjoying it, then it would be great if you just give me a thumbs up and go, Andrew, we're with you, and this is fantastic. All right, so, and if you've got any other comments on what I'm saying, then please just let us know. In John 17, 2 to 3, it says this. Now, this is a cracker. You have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's such a great verse and a reminder that even as we start 2021, you know, I kind of think it's a reminder of what we've been talking about in this whole series. Do you remember, actually, on the very first talk in this series, I started with a story of the wee lad in P1, who started in P1, and I was walking past the school, and you could see him. It was probably about 9:05, and it was the first day when all the kids got back to school. And he still had his coat on, he still had his wee school bag and his lunchbox, and he was doing a Linford Christie towards the gate, right? He was absolutely tearing it up, making a bid for freedom. I don't know if you remember that story, but I remember holding on to the fence, you know, looking through the fence, just going, go on, run, wee man, run for freedom, because that's what I felt like through the whole my whole school journey, right? And you could see the teacher trying not to look a little bit uncomfortable, but she had to sprint towards the end, because this wee fella had seen freedom and he was going for it. And I laughed my leg off thinking what went through his head. You know, 2 minutes into school going, nah, don't fancy it, I'm off. Just packed up his stuff and away he went. But, you know, I kind of understand that, because, you know, like I said all the way back in our first talk, we kind of do that, okay? We run towards what we think is going to make us free. That's where we gravitate to. Every human heart is looking for freedom. Every human heart's looking for hope. We're all looking for wholeness, and we're all looking for completeness. Where we're looking for it might be different, but that's the deep need that we have in us. And what does Jesus say to you today? Jesus says he wants you to know that he's the only one with authority to give you that life. He's the only one. Above all flesh, he said, I have been given authority. The Father gave Jesus authority to bring you that kind of life. Eternal here in 17, 2 to 3 is the Greek word aionos. And it's not really about the future. Eternal life is not about when you die and you go to heaven per se. So it's not future per se, but rather it's about the quality of the age that we live in. So believers live in eternal life right now. So experience it. I mean, kind of experiencing this quality of God life, that's Zoe, as a present possession. Now, what's really interesting for me is that's Jesus' heart for you. He wants you to know today that there's no other authority that's going to bring that to you. And in this interplay between him and his Father, it's like, you know, him saying, you know, there's nothing else for them that is going to satisfy the deep need that they were created with. I'm the only one that has the authority to do that. And I want them to really experience God life. If you are sick today and you wonder, does God want you well? If you've got a sick child today and you think, are they ever going to be completely healed? The Lord in this moment, this moment where we're eavesdropping between the Father, and you see, like it's not the Lord kind of trying to ask the Father, will you please? He's going, this is what, you know, we know. We know that they'll only experience God quality life. And he says, how will they do it? In knowing me, that they know me. The word is ginosko. This is not a knowing of the head. It's an experiential knowledge. And the only true God, theos. So this word theos refers to the supreme being who owns and sustains all things. So what does that mean for you today? What are we seeing here? In this intimate moment between the Father and the Son, you see his heart and his desire for you. He wants you to experience him every day. He wants you to walk and live and feel the difference of living in unmerited favor and grace. He's not cold. He's not uncaring. He's not uninterested. He's not condemning. He's not holding back from you one bit of promise today. He's not far off from you one bit. right? In a world where there are lots of functional gods, things that demand our heart, demand our affection, demand our attention, the things that where we actually really go to put our trust in, particularly when we feel the pressure of life pressing in on us, they don't deliver. They are the ultimate fake news. They promise much and they deliver little. And Jesus says that amongst all of that, he is the only place where you're going to receive a quality of God life that brings rest and wholeness on every part as you experience his unmerited favor and grace in your life. Don't look for it. Set your mind today before you get to the end of this year and you go into 2021 to go, Lord, I want to live from the inside out. I want to have that warm, radiating courage on the inside out. And I know that there's no other place where I'm going to find that. So Jesus, I say with all of my fear, anxiety, and worry, I bring it to you and I receive grace in its place. And I give it to you, Lord, knowing this morning that your word is true. And as I see you speaking to your Father, there's no discrepancy. You see the ultimate sustainer of eternity and time himself, God the Father. You see him in this moment, and the Son and the Father are agreeing that his plan, his desire, his will for you is wholeness, rest, and life. And so what can you do other than say, yes, Lord, amen, I receive. In verses 6 to 9, as I go quickly, Jesus prays that the Father would keep us safe in the world through the work of grace. He actually says here, I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you just keep them from the evil one. This is why this is such an unbelievable chapter. You could probably do a whole series on John 17. But he says, look, I'm not going to just kind of zip you up Star Trek, Star Wars, where they just used to Doctor Who, you know, woo, and away you went. He's not going to do that, all right? But he does pray, keep him from the evil one. Because these children, we're not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them, he says in verse 17, in the truth. Your word is truth. The word here, aletheia, is the word that Jesus, for the word, okay? The word is truth, so Jesus is truth. And that's a throwback, isn't it, to John 1:1, where we talked about this. It's the same word for word. Jesus himself said, you know, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus is truth. So what Jesus says, Jesus sees, Jesus does is truth. Not what you do, where you're getting it wrong, where you're coming up short, what you feel, what you think. That's not the truth, okay? The truth is what Jesus says about you from beginning to end and nothing in between. And so in verse 17, he says, make them holy through my work. I am truth. I am aletheia. I am the divine truth revealed to man. There's so much more I could say here. I mean, there are volumes written on this chapter alone. There's just so much in it. It's the prayer of prayers, the Lord's prayer. But what he's saying is you are going to be transformed as you receive Jesus as the truth and the authority above all others. If there's a lack of transformation in your life, if there's a lack of seeing breakthrough in your life, okay, you cannot balance out the grace of God in your life. You cannot balance out unmerited favor. It literally, remember I said like with Lazarus, we have this crisis of confidence. Is grace enough or do we need something more than Jesus's favor? Remember as they're looking and, they're going, do you know what? Lazarus has been in there for 4 days. Are you sure? Right? When you're facing the impossible, with nothing other than grace, then you'll see a miracle. I believe that. And I think in this moment, what we see in John 17 is that, like the Lord reinforcing for us, there's no discrepancy here. He didn't say one thing to us and one thing to his Father. They're in complete agreement. We eavesdrop on this moment and we see his heart for us. And it's this, he wants you to first of all know that life for you only comes from the Lord. That he's the final authority. So he wants you not to know him, but to know him. That inner confidence, that inner radiance, right? That's how Jesus prays for you today in heaven. At this moment, at the right hand of his Father, in a place of authority, when he's interceding on our behalf, he's not going, well, no, they'll try better. They'll get it better next time. You know, I'll have a word with them. He's going, I just want them to know me more. I want them to know me more. I want them to know me more. I want them to know that life comes from me. And I want you to keep them safe in that promise. Isn't that beautiful? And it's that place that we live our lives from. That's how we demonstrate the glory of God. All right? That's how we demonstrate the glory of God to the world. And that's what he was praying for you. That's what he's praying for you today. He promises to be with you He promises to protect you in the middle of trouble. All of those promises are there to be seen. His heart and his love for you is on perfect view here in John 17. So can I encourage you? You don't need to be anxious. You don't need to be afraid about today, tomorrow, or any other day, in fact. He has promised you, and in that moment, as he goes to the cross, he goes, I've already overcome everything that's going to come against them, but keep them safe from the enemy. All right? And let's agree, Father to Son, that I want them to experience me and God quality life. So let me finish up. Let's finish up this series. We don't want to finish with the truth, right? And just kind of leave it there. You know, how do you answer the question that I asked the disciples? You know, I asked the disciples, Jesus asked the disciples. And that very same question. Given everything that you've heard over these last weeks and months as we've unpacked the beautiful story of Jesus in the Gospel of John, he asks his disciples, who do you say I am? And I want you to think about that today. Who do you say that Jesus is? How you answer that question will profoundly impact the quality of life that you live. It's either God life or it's you trying to make the best of life. It will profoundly impact your ability to live in faith for 2021 and beyond. And it will profoundly impact your ability to receive grace upon grace every single day of your life. Jesus showed that all of their efforts to get right with God so that they could truly live with him were all pointing to him anyway. He said it to them. I am who I am. Okay? I am it. The one who loves you, the one who holds you today, is the eternal pre-existing one. From before the beginning, the Lord says to you today, I am. Remember what we talked about that? Remember how we talked about every single need of your life today is met perfectly and completely in the revelation of Jesus? Remember, I'm just going to leave you with these seven statements. We talked about them. And seven, remember, is the number of perfection and completion. So the seven statements as I finish reading these today, I just pray that they really bless you. And it'll help you to get to the point where you say, whatever my need is, you turn to the Lord. And as he says, well, who do you say I am? You say, well, Lord, in this area of my need, you're the one that provides me with the quality of God life. So he said, I am the bread of life, John 6. Just as bread sustains us in our physical life, so the Lord offers you today, and he's going to sustain you with everything you need spiritually and physically because he's the bread of life. Secondly, he said, I am the light of the world. Remember this when they lit up the temple in Jerusalem, John 8, 12. So if you're in darkness today, if you feel like it's a bit cloudy, then Jesus himself comes to you, all right? And he offers himself as your guide. He offers you to be light, and he brings his light into your life, not to, you know, embarrass you, but to bring about change and transformation. And he said, I'm the door of the sheep, John 10. Penny talked about this just as, you know, the Lord's protecting you right now. Just as, you know, as we are like, you know, he's like a shepherd protecting the flocks from predators. Jesus says, I'm protecting you. Okay, Psalm 91 over everyone today. Okay, safe in the shadow of his wings. In John 11, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. We talked about death is not the final word. Sickness is not the final word if you're in Jesus today. I'm the good shepherd, John 10, 11. Jesus is committed to you. He's watching over you. He goes to find you when you're lost. He will protect you from everything that comes your way. In John 14, 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is your source of all truth and knowledge that you need to navigate every moment of every day. John 15, we didn't talk about this per se, but it's I am the true vine. And, you know, in our Abide series, I did a whole series on that, about how we just let the life of God flow through us. And as we let the life of God flow through us, then you won't, you know, you can't help but to bear fruit. And so I think today, if you want more fruit, just stay attached to Jesus, stay attached to him. And in that place, in all of those statements, those seven statements, perfect and complete, we see that that is the place where you find life, real life. So I'm finished this morning. Hopefully you're still, are you still there? Okay, let me leave you with our final verse, our signature verse from John chapter 20, verse 31. All of these things were written, the Lord said. Everything we've talked about, everything that we've discussed, all of those things were written so that you may believe. You may believe what? That Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. My prayer for you this morning is that you would have life in the name of Jesus. Not by doing, not by trying harder, not by living fretfully and anxiously, not by any of that, but by simply believing that from the very beginning, in the heart of God, he would send his son for you. That he would send his son to come and to fulfill every promise that was ever written about the Messiah. And simply by believing, grace says, believe and you will receive. And that's the covenant that we live under today. We believe and we receive, and everything we do will be as a result of what we have believed and received from the Lord, and then it flows out from us. So I pray that today that you would believe in the name of the Lord. And that in believing, I speak life over you, grace over you, hope over you, healing over you, wholeness over your homes and your houses, over your work, over your family, and over your future to come. Amen. Amen.